Second hour, Robbie and Rex are 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It's Reaction Monday, PK. Reaction Monday brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Paul Kaharski in for Robbie Stanley, Ian Safar producing. And speaking of Reaction Monday, let's have a little reaction to Will Levis. Will Levis with a banger of a presser on Saturday. Here's a little bit of a snippet from young Will.
I believe this is year four. How much do you feel like you've grown as a person, maybe, and as a player?
A lot. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, dang, this is really year four. I'm a true vet at this point. Getting that letter from the PA, getting vested. Like, I didn't even know, like, being on IR, like, that counts as a vested season. And to get that, like, that was like, wow. Definitely grown a lot. I feel like I was a kid when I got here. I've definitely turned into a man, and there's still a lot of growing that I need to do. But I think what I touched on earlier, just on the mental side, being able to not care as much about what other people say or what other people think. I feel like I worked a lot for other people's approval in the beginning of my career, and whereas I'm just trying to be the best version of me at this point, and I have more confidence than I've ever had because of that. I don't need to go out there and win X amount of games before I can feel the confidence. Like, I have the confidence right now. I know I've put the tape out there already that I'm a dang good quarterback in this league, and I'm even better than I ever have been. So,
the faith that you have a future as a starter in this league? 100%.
I know I'm, I think I'm, there are not 32 quarterbacks in this league better than me. I know that for sure.
How do you reconcile that faith with the just wanting to have fun and just taking the reps that are given to you? It seems like it's probably...
You can have both.
But you have that confidence, but that's not what I'm thinking about when I'm stepping on the field. I mean, maybe at one point in my career I was thinking about trying to prove that to people, but I have that belief in myself while still not trying to make that one of my main points of emphasis of proving that. I know that as long as I just play the way that, I'm blessed to, with the abilities that I'm blessed to have and the capabilities that I have and I've learned to develop as a quarterback, like, that's just going to come. And when I get the opportunities, I know that I'm going to make the most of it and I'm going to shine.
So that was Will Levis. What the heck is going on, by the way, when you guys are having these presses? Sound like a freaking circus around this. It's like just...
I think what's going on with your sound guy?
You're blaming Ian on that?
Well, Ian's not out there gathering sound.
So what do you think our sound guy's doing?
I don't know. I have good sound when I'm out there.
There's a lot of commotion, it feels like.
You put a tape recorder in front of the speaker.
Yeah, well, I mean, what Levis sounded clear.
That was just from the website video.
Then get on the Titans.
Well, let's rip the Titans then. It sounded like, which sometimes does happen, a lot going on. But
yeah, it's just background, and the mic kicks on, and there's a lot of chatter, and you can hear the jug machines back there. That's not too raw.
Bad.
Yeah, or rare, I should say.
I guess
that you kind of hear that
I'm just
sometimes.
An irritable old man.
So the big takeaway from that for most people is him saying there aren't 32 quarterbacks better than he is.
Yep.
And it doesn't really matter. Like, I think a lot of press then just started listing quarterbacks to see if that's true. It doesn't really matter what he thinks or what we think. The league clearly thinks there are, because he's third string quarterback right now. Which is less than 64. There's
right.
64
that says,
better.
That says there's 64 better.
According to the league.
Right.
And no, the Titans got no calls on Will Levis during the draft, I know. None. So what he needs is new tape. I wrote, and it's out, and it'll be tweeted again in a while. But the thing for Will Levis is, he's stale to the league, and stuff about him that he thinks is important, maybe, his draft position, his arm talent, don't matter anymore to the league right now. And for him to be a resurrectional quarterback, he probably right now needs that year behind people before he can reemerge maybe next year as one of these second chance quarterbacks. And before he's going to be maybe a long shot Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones, Geno Smith, he needs to be a Jarrett Stidham or a Drew Locke or a Gardner Minshew.
Are you just reading your piece on the air now?
Well, those are parts of my piece.
I liked your piece.
So,
at paulkuharski.com, by the way.
Here's the thing for that. The best scenario for him is to go sit behind other guys with a really good coach. which would be here.
Yep.
But now, Borgonzi
said. The problem is there's a QB too.
Yeah, Borgonzi said, well, the matter of a third quarterback, is he one of the 53 best players? That's not the case. It's just a luxury you can't afford to have a guy who is never going to play for you. You know, it's a break glass in case of emergency, and you go get that guy off your practice squad if two quarterbacks go down. And what's the likelihood that two quarterbacks go down?
Because if they, like, if they leave Levis unprotected, I do believe he will get picked up.
As a waiver claim, yeah.
Yes, right? Like, there's no doubt, is there? I think there's little doubt.
I wouldn't think. Even if he's not a waiver claim, then he gets signed, I would think. Waiver claim, you're picking up the contract. If you don't waiver claim him, then you're signing him for free.
Yeah.
You know, with a new, you know, minimum salary.
So another thing about this that struck me is that Saturday afternoon, shortly after he made these comments, this was the number three story on the ESPN website, which I was like, okay. Yesterday, a day after the comments he made, I went to the NFL page. It was like number three still on the NFL page. Which probably more than anything tells you just how utterly worthless all this is, right?
It's funny because
I mean, really,
as a local person judging things, I didn't write. I mean, I pondered the Levis stuff and I wrote about him last night.
Yeah,
and I wrote J.C. Latham because I thought J.C. Latham is more. J.C. Latham is way more important to the 2026.
I think that was
Tennessee
the right decision for the audience of people who follow the Titans closely. But NFL-wide, it's a name. It's a former starter.
33rd draft pick.
Right. And has been a polarizing figure. So part of it is that. But also, again, part of it is like, wow, there's that little going on, huh? Like, there's just right. nothing happening at all right now. I do feel like if Levis could be the backup here, it'd be good for him.
Yes. It would.
Right?
But they made that decision pretty quickly. They signed Mitch Trubisky pretty quickly. And the
like the Titans basically have told him, not only are you not among the 32, you're not among the 64. Yeah. And, I mean, in a sense.
And the quarterback conversation is so scrambled here. You have some people that think that Will Levis was screwed over by being on such a bad team and with the coaching change and with all of that, and that he's going to emerge as a good quarterback and he'll be better than Cam Ward in the end. And then you have other people that are like, look out for Mitch Trubisky. As soon as things go bad with Cam Ward here, Brian Daboll's just looking for a chance to get Mitch Trubisky in the lineup.
Who says that?
He's going to be the Titans' Sam Darnold. Oh, this is out there too.
Hasn't Mitch Trubisky
already had his chance at that, I think
Mitch Trubisky's had his chance. Hasn't Mitch Trubisky basically declared himself, I'm a QB2 in this league? I don't think that there's a...
I haven't talked to him yet, but that would make sense to me.
Yeah, I think we've seen Mitch Trubisky. Like Will Levis, we haven't seen a lot. We saw a rough season with some incredibly outrageous mistakes. I thought it was interesting hearing him there talk about trying to please other people and all that stuff. I mean, that was clear. Putting too much on his own shoulders, clear.
He's not the mental side well of the game so far. That's the biggest thing here. He looks the same. That's the biggest thing here. If he came out and he was playing really well and he said all this stuff, he'd say, well, the mental gains he's made are producing physical differences.
Yeah.
I like Will Levis personally, and I'm glad to hear all this stuff because I think the mental stuff, you know, some of it is brought upon himself, but some of it is outside forces that have worked very hard to mess things up for him. So I hope he gets things straight, and I would like to see him get a second chance. It's not going to be here, and it's not going to be soon.
Outside forces. Explain that, please.
Callahan.
Okay. I thought you were talking about there like the draft process people were trying to, you know.
No. Environmental circumstances.
Yeah.
Which, look, everybody, I think the Will Levis supporters are just massive on, well, he had no chance because of all of these things. Well, he did have a chance not to throw that ball out of bounds, try to throw that ball out of bounds that got picked. He did have a chance
not to go bowling the next week against the Jets, to
Tajay Spears. Those are not environmental concerns. Those are idiocy. personal idiocy. And people have a lot of trouble separating that. I'm not saying the environmental concerns weren't a factor, but inside bad environmental concerns, he made things exponentially worse with bad decision making.
He did.
Look at him. People are so quick to want to blame everything on the surroundings and not put the fair share of stuff on the guy actually making the mistakes.
Yeah. Now, I also, those mistakes are obviously going to, that's what people are always going to talk about, just like they're going to talk about the Mayo cologne forever. Like, to me.
I never did get a bottle of that.
But when you talk about, it smelled pretty good. When you talk about how he looks the same, but you're not talking about because he's out there doing behind the back garbage. It's because he still just misses throws that you can't miss. Which frankly, that's where he and Cam Ward to me do kind of share something, right? In terms of like, you gotta just throw strikes a little bit more.
Neither of them have clicked in on the decision making and being consistently good enough for you to say, oh yeah, the guy gets it.
All right, we come back. More on Will Levis and others who are standing out to PK so far. Robbie and Rex Show, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Show, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping, outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Back in Robbie and Rex Show, Paul Kuharski in for Robbie today. Ian Safar producing. We're talking Will Levis. Did you bring up Vrabel earlier? Did we talk about Vrabel?
I said Vrabel loved Aaron Brewer.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That was the degree.
I've just got a string of texts about Vrabel hiring his drinking buddies. You have to like Bud Light if you like him. When will he get rid of Josh McDaniels to bring in another drinking buddy? I don't think he's going to get rid of Josh McDaniels.
This idea that he's getting rid of Josh McDaniels has been planted by one guy, didn't come to fruition.
Who planted it?
Your boy Stilly.
Oh.
All last year. He's going to get rid of Josh McDaniels and hire... promote
Josh McDaniels is a good OC in New England, right? I mean, it's never again, I don't think, will he be a head coach, but no. he can do that job.
Yes, he can.
It's not just, people want, it's like with Brady, anybody associated with Brady, you want to try to take credit away from anybody else who's around him. But
I'll say McDaniels this, good. It's easy to predict a real slide for the Patriots, but I'll say this. Look around the AFC and pick me really good teams. And it's not an easy exercise if you score teams down for new head coaches. Now, last year, new head coaches were pretty successful, not here, but a lot of the good ones. But I score Baltimore down. I score the Bills down. I score the Steelers down for change from long-term stability. Now, maybe one of those teams, gets a boost and thrown over the top, which is what they're looking for. And I'm not saying that New England's going to match last year by any means, but I don't know that they're winning four games either.
No, I don't think they're going to go in the tank, but they're going to go like – I think they're going to go like 9-8.
Yeah,
and
which could be a wild card.
There'll still be enough losses for, Vrabel to hear a lot of stuff this year.
No, he's going to hear matter what. But that could also be a wild card entry. AFC as it's constructed.
Mitch in Bellevue wants to make sure you got enough soda, or as I call it, pop. You good over there? How's that big gulp? About halfway through the big gulp.
About halfway through.
Which is actually works out perfectly.
Yeah, because we're about halfway through.
That's right. So who else right now? We you already talked. Someone asked about Alec Iyemeyer. Has he surpassed Calvin Ridley? No, and I don't expect that he will. I just wonder if Ridley is going to stay healthy, but – you had him as an arrow up with caution. Give me a couple more arrow ups and a couple of arrow downs right now. It's early, but
Well, I mean, this is off the top of my head. I haven't written this down or anything, but I would say arrow up on most of the defensive line. Now I feel like Simmons definitely arrow up. I feel like Simmons and John Franklin Myers are like the more permanent guys on there, and that the rotation after them has just been furious. Like, you don't see the same two guys out there for a a very long time or consistently.
That's a big solid thing. And he talks about that with Simmons, too.
Yeah, but they'll start a new period, like on a new day, and it won't be the same two guys. You know, so there's no third and fourth guy on that defensive line who are by any means like going to necessarily start the next period or start the next day, which is interesting. And that Franklin Myers, I don't think it's safe to think of him as necessarily inside guy. I mean, I think there's going to be more positional versatility from him than we think.
Okay.
And I mean, I asked him about that, and he said, you know, line me up anywhere. All these guys are kind of saying line me up anywhere. But I think it's going to be even more of a scramble than we think, based off early indications. And I think it's hard to keep track of and all of that, but it's also going to be really maybe interesting and fun. So I'm curious about that. We're going to talk to Falk today, I think. And so that'll be our interesting next take on that. Wandale Robinson had a really bad day a couple days ago where he just didn't seem in sync and had a couple drops and stuff. I think he's a high, high volume guy, but he needs to be more consistent than that. I talked about Spears. He's looked really good, and he's gotten a lot of chances. Coogan has worked higher generally than he did in the spring.
So he's arrow up.
I think he's arrow up. I don't
arrow up to the point of we might be talking. No. Okay.
But interestingly, like you were talking about leadership on the offensive line and stuff, like the offensive line came over on the day fans were there, and their work area is right in front of a big covered bleacher section. And they came over, and like before their period started, you know, one guy's trying to get the crowd going over there. It's Pat Coogan waving his arm and kind of, which is kind of.
Well, he's one of those dudes.
One of those dudes. But you would think maybe one of those dudes would say, like, I need to lay back a little bit for my stature on this team and everything. And he's not thinking that at all. He's like, hey, I'm going to be.
If that's your personality.
Yeah, I'm going to do my thing. And
hey, real quick, you mentioned you mentioned the fans. TD texted me about the noise. He said there were jug machines, tractors, fans, and player family there. So, I'm just, you know, I felt like it was a little louder than normal. You know, yeah. Thank you, TD.
I'm not wild about the lawnmowers, like, that they can't wait 30 minutes to mow the lawn, it seems.
Yeah.
Crazy to me.
It's almost like they're doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
To mess you up.
It's a giant thing to be mowed of three fields, and the thing that needs to be mowed during media availability is
right behind you.
Near.
That's, yeah. You got to hit that right away.
I don't sense accidentalness in that. Somehow.
You've given me very little arrow down here.
Am I to take that
you are like. Like, actually, overall, I'm feeling pretty good about things.
It's training camp. Anthony Hill Jr., I would say his arrow is not up in terms of, I don't know.
He's clearly a two right now.
I don't know that he's, you know, I'm not allowed to talk depth chart. There are other linebackers getting more time than he is.
Well, I mean, but you can talk depth. I mean, Gray and Barton are in line to start, right? I mean, is that not?
Yes.
The expectation?
I wouldn't say that Anthony Hill is even necessarily playing where you would
twos.
Expect him to play.
Okay.
Don't
worry. You're not going to get in trouble.
That's an early thing, right?
Is that something that you think is reflective of what's going on, or is that like let's put the rookie here and let's let the rookie
early,
take a level, then see if he can get to that next level.
Early to tell. I mean, you're talking about Coogan, who, you know, seems like he was eased in during the spring and maybe is doing more.
Moving up, yeah.
Don't feel like Anthony Hill is necessarily on the same path right now, and he's second rounders compared to a sixth.
Yeah. And the other thing about that is I do think of all the positions, you know, I mean, linebacker in any defense, and it seems like in this defense, as aggressive as this defense is up front, to me, Logically, that leaves at times linebackers in compromising positions, probably more often than, you know, some of the two-gap stuff that people do. So I've kind of always thought, like, you got to give him time. Think about Gray. Yeah, he got hurt. But Gray also, like, he wasn't able to play fast as a rookie. It's hard to play fast as a rookie. I think as a rookie linebacker in the NFL, an off-ball linebacker in the NFL, I think it's hard to play fast.
I was thinking had different coaches.
You're swimming. What's that?
That different coach is – what year was Gray's rookie year? Just last year?
Gray was 2 years ago. He was a rookie. He was hurt. We were talking at times during Gray's rookie year, like, man, I don't know, like, what's going on? Is this a whiff? And all of a sudden, last year he's healthy, and boom, he's able to play downhill, and it's like, oh, okay, this guy can play. I think with Hill, you know, I can see already people being like, oh, what is happening? Second round pick, oh my gosh! But at that position, I'm sure we'll see him some, but I'd give him this year. I'd give him this year and hope that year two, like with Gray, there's a lot of light turning on.
Other thing that's of note, I kind of expected this. You hope one of these guys catches on. They are churning the defensive backfield. Three new corners/defensive backs in the door in the last little bit. Nazee Johnson, Mario Goodrich, Derek Canteen, great last name. All coming in, you know, they're churning those last three spots.
Which isn't a surprise, but also, it's like it's already like, oh, this is not good enough. There's gonna be some dudes off the street playing in that defensive backfield again for the Tennessee Titans.
Safety Hudson Clark was in for a day, I think. Yeah. Must have made a hell of an impression.
That must have been quite a day. All right, we come back. We will get back to the Titans, but I do have to get PK. I mean, really, to kind of explain to me what in the hell is going on with college athletics right now. Robbie and Rex are 102.5 The Game. Keep up with Titans training camp with 102.5 The Game for the latest updates, player interviews, and more as you get prepped for the upcoming Titans season. Coverage of Titans training camp is presented by Tennessee Brew Works, Parman Energy, and the Music City kickoff game. That Music City kickoff game, Ole Miss against Louisville at Nissan Stadium, September 6th. Get your tickets today at NashvilleSports.com. That should be a fun one, actually. Ole Miss, Louisville, Paul. And speaking of college football, college sports, have you been following this at all? Do I have to?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So they had an 11th hour, save of this Protect College Sports Act. So everybody kind of thought, nah, this is going to die. The Big Ten and SEC got in there and finally gave it their, I guess it seems like, grudging approval. So it does live on. I still have my doubts that that this is going to actually pass as law. One of the interesting things, and I think Ross Dellinger from Yahoo had a bit about this. Some of the push late was the threat that President Trump was going to attack the Big Ten and SEC leaders via social media. So I don't know. Like, I have no idea how that was communicated or, like, how much of a factor that was, but that was in his story. But, like, presumably there was going to be some social media shaming, like some, you know, like, I
don't
know.
What a motivator.
Like, ripping Woody Hayes or something. You know? Woody and Bo or, maybe get after Paul Bear Bryant, whatever. I don't know.
Oh, he would go after Mike Slive, right?
Mike Slive?
Yeah, current guys.
Well, Mike Slive's not a – you mean Greg Sankey?
Yeah, Greg Sankey. Oh, sorry. Good. A little bit behind him. Sorry. A little bit behind him. He would go after current guys.
The late, great Mike Slive.
Yeah, he would go after Cignetti.
Yeah, maybe. But see, that's the thing. Not Saban, because, like, I think they're – aren't they?
They're buddies.
Yeah. So, this is –
Saban's not currently in the administration, much like Mike Slive.
Yeah. Meanwhile, this is going on, and then you have this judge in Colorado kind of opening the floodgates back on all these. So, you know, they have put in the 5-for-5 rule, right? Basically, just like the clock starts, it's five years. But someone's always going to get screwed. You know, you set a rule. What they should have done with that rule, by the way, is they should have put it in. They should have. it should have become a thing like late fall. So then it's not even a factor in football season. And then also it's like the way, when the timing allows a lot of these athletes to still have right now to be able to come back and try to come back into college athletics. So as soon as that floodgate gets opened up, again, these are athletes who were out of eligibility, but now basically a judge has sort of grandfathered them in. Or you can have that year. You don't. But also, initially, everyone thought that they were going to be able to go wherever they wanted. There's all these teams, and we're talking especially like right now, basketball, but basketball and football. Oh, okay, this program is going here. They're going to try to get this guy. The judge clarified this is only returning to your previous team, which totally changes things. Meanwhile, the NCAA is, of course, trying to get a stay on that and eliminate it altogether. The NCAA president is calling them, quote, failed professionals, you know, which is an interesting choice of words. So people are angry about that. So you have all that going on while we have this Protect College Sports Act, which to me has so many problems. Again, you're trying to – the SEC and Big Ten, one of their big things was they want a hard cap. They wanted, like, a hard cap with as many protections as possible. It's basically – this is an antitrust exemption, right? But it's still – like, lawyers are looking at this. They're not holding back. You're still trying to cap income, right, for people in this country to make money without them having any say in it.
Right, it's not like a CBA.
Right. I mean, a lot of people thought this was about to die last week, and then it's like, okay, everybody, can we finally talk about this? If you don't get a CBA, if you don't have the laborers in participating, you can't put a cap on them. But here we are with this act still alive for now, and, you know, needing, like, they're trying to squeeze it in before the, you know, before everybody gets out of there. And it's quite a mess.
What's the timeline on the legislative session here for this bill, do we think?
Well, so they're trying they're trying to have it. There's a 5-week recess starting Friday. So after Friday is a 5-week recess in the Senate. So then you're getting into the, you know, you're like, is that when you look at the big picture, is that the end of the world? No, but I mean, it would be a big deal, right, to get it to the Senate floor this week to get for a vote. It needs 60 to pass.
Have there been any straw polls about if it'll get to 60?
There's definitely been some. I mean, there's been plenty of senators who have spoken up in opposition to it, and some in support. I mean, I think it's really close. And then obviously then you go to the House and there's less enthusiasm about that being a, so I mean, this bill is like it's just all these different people have put their input in on it to try to get it to pass, and it's just kind of all over the place. I don't think it'll happen. But we'll see. I mean, this is by far the most success they've had. I mean, before this, it's just been a joke almost to even go here, and they've at least got it to this. So, I guess the bottom line of we're going to set this exact number that schools, this is Congress is saying, here, you school, you know, Ohio State, you can't spend more than $48 million on your roster. It's just, to me, ripe for litigation.
Immediate.
So, you know, it's just it's and then now again you have this situation with the 5 for 5 and all these athletes potentially coming back into college sports, but maybe they won't, and it's just a perfect representation of where we are, which is just complete chaos. And
the 5 for 5 also seems ripe for litigation if you've kind of saved your fifth year for the fifth year, and then you're immediately hurt at the beginning of your fifth year.
Yeah. Right. There is. I think there are. You know, that's the thing. There's going to be. I think there's going to be exceptions with this.
So
yes.
We'll say 5 for 5, but then guys will be playing in their sixth.
I mean that's a fair point. They've kind of set it out there like, look, 5 for 5 is what it is. 5 for 5, you get hurt, but we're still giving you this extra year of eligibility anyway. So you kind of, if you take that as a medical year, you're taking it as a medical year. Will someone sue? Yes. Will they be successful? You know, the thing is, like, there's actually the NCAA has been more successful with some things in terms of eligibility than you might think. Like, there's been a lot of lawsuits you don't hear about because they fail, right? You hear about the ones that when someone gets a temporary injunction. So, but yeah, it's look, the billable hours crowd absolutely loves college sports. I mean, how many, like, seriously, how many, like, beach houses have been bought off college sports in the last few years? I mean, it's truly remarkable. But I can't, you tell me, I was thinking about this, like, we're closing on the season, so I'm getting excited about actual football and things like that, and should be a really interesting year, just like always in college football. I cannot remember a sports enterprise, the news cycle being dominated by necktie-wearing bureaucrats more than college sports is right now. We have all the pro sports have lockouts. We're gonna have baseball's not gonna play next year. I could almost guarantee you. You know, we have these stoppages and things like that. But again, like, the laborers participate, and you know you have these issues every few years and then you get through them. This is like it's like just this dominant presence of commissioners, ADs, politicians, lawyers, and it's just I'm just done with it.
It's built into that the labor, it's very hard for the labor to participate because the labor graduates.
That is true. And I've heard that as one of the reasons, you know, that it's going to be hard to put it together. But at the same time, I mean, how many guys in the NFL are in for a cup of coffee? There are veterans who, but
well,
but,
that's why the NFL is the worst at the labor game among the professionals because of the short career.
But what you have to have is you have a well-paid, Gene Upshaw. You have a well-paid, long-term, this is my job.
Not just well-paid, but good at it.
Yeah, right. You have to find someone good and pay them for the long-term, and then they are the face of the whole thing.
Damore Smith wasn't that good, and he looks great now compared to what they've done since him.
Right. But regardless, all the sports, the pro sports, like, you know, we have these things, and then they figure it out. College sports is like, it's just suit overkill right now. Like, I'm just... I know you don't care.
You love
anyway.
These discussions.
I mean,
you love discussing backroom.
I really don't. Like, I'm truly sick of it. Like, none of it's going to matter. It really doesn't matter. You know what? Okay, now you put a cap. Then,
but do you think there should be some kind of cap, something to manage it, or do you think it should be the Wild West?
If it's collectively bargained,
well, it's
sure.
never going to be collectively bargained.
Well, why would you say never?
Because who's going to organize the student end of it?
They're already organizing themselves. We've got two different groups right now just in the last week that have started to try to
What's
organize.
What's the scope of it?
Well, there was a Stanford thing, but then there's a group of a lot of different women's basketball players who are trying to organize. I mean, believe me, if you organize as a college athlete, you're going to get a bigger cut. Right now they're in the 20s.
Well, I understand they should organize. I just don't think it's feasible that they organize.
Yeah, you should definitely not say never. I wouldn't say never about anything in college sports, and not that. But
and also, women's basketball organizing is great, but what you need is football organizing and doing the bulk of the work
sure.
that trickles down for everybody. And football, you know, I just don't think that universally in their schedule they're going to say, you know what we need to do is get into some meetings and roll up our sleeves and argue for our stance on this because they're busy.
Because that's why
that's not anything they've ever done before.
That's why you have to have a permanent presence who does most of the work, and it's right. Like, I mean, that's really
well. What we need to do is get together and elect somebody or hire somebody who's putting that together. Yeah. Where does that come from? I mean, I remember
things happen.
Years ago. A guy at Northwestern was going
to. They tried to do that. Yeah,
right.
They tried. Yeah, times were. A little bit different in college sports then versus now. All right, we come back. The Rex Rant, Robbie Rexo, 1-2-5 the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Just come down here and just beat the crap out of both of us.
The community out there is looking at Rex Road as kind of a gout screener.
I do try to play a doctor sometimes on this show.
Would you rather listen to Pat McAfee's new album or Maroon 5?
Eugene smoking on some new green. I mean, this is like Paul Kuharsky lyrics, you know?
Pat, did you buy a quarter ounce off Paul Kuharsky?
I didn't expect to stand on a soapbox for Paul Kuharsky today.
He wasn't like some dude that got off the street. Like, he's a good young player. What's for the Cards. Jake Waters?
I'm the one who can't hear Shaq talk on the television.
It messes with some animals and maybe our brains a little bit and all of that.
I've also been a child who pooped my pants.
Bring the poop bag.
Beautiful. That's another fine intro by Ian, capped off with some Encot B. You're probably a big Encot B guy back in the day, right, PK?
Never.
I don't believe you. You at least bobbed your head. Other X-Rant, served by the Wine Cellar in Hendersonville. We may have multiple things to talk about today. This is a, again, sometimes Twitter has value, okay? Sometimes I find things that I enjoy, including this. This got a lot of attention, and I'm going to go ahead and throw my support behind it, even though I think that we've actually talked about this before and probably has been a rant. But I'm going to read this from this weekend from Ryan McGee, friend of the show of ESPN, and Marty McGee. He says, quote, said it before, worth repeating, one of the dumbest trends of my lifetime. Holding up an entire parking lot to do a reverse five-point turn, all just the back of your spot like you're unloading uranium cores down at the shipyard. Dude, you're in a Chevy Colorado at the Publix, end quote. And by the way, this comes on after the weekend in which I saw someone do this in an alley in Germantown, okay? So this is a person who has a spot, right? I mean, presumably this is like either, you know, they're built like their buildings there, right? I mean, I'm assuming this person lives in this area of Germantown. So, like, the only time to me that it is acceptable to do this is if you're going to a sporting event or you're going to a concert where, you know, when you get out, like, you're going to have to book. You're going to have to get into traffic. And if you can just go boom right out and pop into traffic, it makes a difference. Whereas sometimes people won't let you in. You're trying to back out. You can get screwed over. You can be stuck. Fine. If you have a major event that you're at, then it's fine to make people wait so you can back into your spot. Other than that, there is absolutely no excuse for it. And I saw it like, why is a person in an alley, which I think is their spot where they live, why are you wasting anybody's time? Now, granted, a lot of times in an alley, maybe you're not expecting like another car to be waiting, but like it happened. And so we're waiting for you to back yourself into your parking spot, like where you live. This is all you have to do is whenever you're going to leave again, back out and go. No, you tell me if I'm wrong, PK. The big, heavily attended event where you save time potentially by doing it is the only time this is acceptable.
I'm against inefficiency overall, but my kid drives a pickup truck. He backs into everything. Now, he does it very well. It's not a five-point turn situation. You stop.
He backs into every time he
and
parks.
And you back in. Yeah.
So you are a negligent father.
Well, I'm not a negligent father. I really have little to do with the pickup truck. But it's hard to go in a long pickup truck head first into some spots. It's easier to back in. He tells me, and a lot of people who drive pickup trucks tell me. And so I don't have a problem with it as long as you're efficient with it. I don't know why people are doing five-point turns. If you're doing five-point turns, you're inequipped to drive a pickup truck, I would say. So get yourself in a small sedan.
So what do you mean you had nothing to do? You just came home and you had a pickup truck?
Well, it's a three-person house.
Buying people trucks at your house?
And he was pushing for a pickup truck a lot. And he did more convincing on the one side than he did on the other.
What'd you say?
I said, I don't think he should have a pickup truck.
You can have a Mazda Miata only.
Yeah, I love the idea of a Kuharsky driving a pickup truck, actually. But yeah, I don't love the idea of a Kuharsky.
All my friends in the Northeast want to know if he had a gun rack on it, you know, and all of those things. So that's that. Can I tell you about a thing I've struggled with lately?
Yeah, but hold on. I need a little bit of reaction quickly. Rebecca says on the text I'm driven by WilsonCounty.com, backer inners are compensating for something. Drives me crazy.
Look, there are a lot of people who go in front-wise who also stop and back out to increase their angle who are incompetent parkers. So let's not reserve incompetent parking to people who are backing in. I see people turning in front-wise who don't know how to angle themselves out and turn in on one smooth turn, and that's a much bigger sin.
Okay. No, I mean, I don't disagree. Like, if you make people wait because you can't park, then that's a problem.
And also, in a parking deck, you are not meant to wait for somebody to come out. You're meant to continue going until there's an open spot. That's how parking decks are designed.
And people in parking decks who do it, it drives me crazy. Texter says, sounds like Rexo is jealous he can't back into a parking lot. Hey, man. I mean, if you would have seen my parallel parking in Germantown this weekend, like, it was like one take, man. It was like boom. It was.
And let's raise this.
Sweet.
Let's localize this. Titans Media Parking. We park on the street. It doesn't even give you the same address as the Titans facility, 460 Great Circle Road. When I went to do my parking for tax purposes, you know, get all my mileage. It gives me some other address. That's how far away we park. But these people space out the cars so far, there's a half spot between each car. And I've been telling people, maybe they're listening now, pull up and save some space so that more of us can park there. And then you can, you know, inch out a couple times to get out. You don't have to have a free release to pull out of parking on the Titans curb.
We have a lot of things here we're getting to. A lot of reaction to the parking thing, but you also had something on the internet.
Well,
the internet's
look,
bothering
I go to bed sometimes
you Google watch, Mike's live?
Watching reels and videos. Yeah, he was more recent than Bear Bryant, which you were using.
Right, I was making a point.
I made a mistake. I go to bed sometimes foolishly watching, you know, reels and stuff or YouTube shorts. And my YouTube shorts have recently taken from, you know, showing me like – football highlights and How I Met Your Mother clips and West Wing clips to then it shifts into live stuff. And among the live stuff I've seen lately is some sort of Asian cultural thing, I don't know, of a woman speaking a foreign tongue, peeling an egg, not a hard-boiled egg, an uncooked egg with like manicure tools. And everybody's rooting for her to hurry up. She's near the end of the egg. She's about to peel the last piece of the egg, but she's telling you, "Don't rush me. It's very dangerous. This last spot, it could break." And she's like chipping away underneath, and then she clips it. She's chipping away underneath, and then she. I never make it to the end. I can't wait that long. But I really want to see her complete it, and it is somewhat soothing and fascinating. How did they come up with this? And has anybody else ever watched this?
I mean, I have no idea what the hell you're talking about, but...
She takes an egg, Joe. She cracks the
egg. This is definitely one of the weirdest segments ever now.
She gently removes the shell of an uncooked egg.
Let us know if you've also enjoyed this with PK. In the meantime, we will have Corey Curtis coming up next. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5 The Game.